say that the joy of the Lord's our strength, because we've got a whole heap of little practical jokers in this church, okay? Is we've got, you know, Sue, who's been helping me out with my PowerPoint, she said, oh, so I just feel we could do this and this, and I go, oh, you know, I said, right, that'll be good. A couple of little practical people borrowed my Bible this morning and removed it from where I might find it so I could bring it down. And, you know, but it did turn up, so that's good. I won't say who it was, will I? A couple of girls that did that for me. But the good thing is that it is the joy of the Lord that's our strength. He is so abundantly good. I cannot tell you just so much. Each week to come here and be in the corporate embodiment of this church, where the Holy Spirit's ministering and meeting with people, you come and you cannot help. Doesn't matter how you turn up here and start the day, you go away filled up, all right? And this church is such an amazing place. I read out a whole list of things I wanted to thank, is that for each one of you that's come to us over the last few weeks, you know, just to pray for us, to lift us up, I want to thank you, but also want to pass that back, all right? Please know this, that we're not burdened by what lays ahead of us, is we fully believe that God has it in control, that irrespective of what we do, we're all born and one day we will all die. And that's what goes on, is these mortal bodies have been given, you know, X amount of time for whatever it is. In the same way, when it's your precious daughter, you think to yourself, you know, maybe there's other things I could do. But as we heard this morning, it's only what God's going to do. He has it in control. He has total control over what is coming to pass. And he's a God of blessing. He's a God of promises, which are yes and amen. He is a God that his heart is that none should perish, but all should come. See, he's dialing in there now. That none should perish, but all should come to a knowledge of him and everlasting life. And if that's his will, I believe that for every person. All right? It's not my will, it's his will. All right? He said it. That's his idea, that for every person that they would come to a knowledge of him. So I look forward to that day. I've actually didn't put many notes together, but I did put some, and I've got my Bible back because the practical joker's put it on the front desk for me, which is really nice. Isn't it a good thing? Just to take on Zoom, Trevor, I think it's time you moved out of Ballarat. Yeah. I keep hearing it come on the news too much. It keeps coming up just too regularly, doesn't it? And it doesn't sound like it's a great place to be. But anyway, Trevor and Marion, if you're over there, you're welcome back. You know that anytime. We love having you here with us. I would just like just to take a moment, if we could, just to honour our Anzacs. We had Anzac Day through this week. So what we might do is we might just have a moment's silence, for that, okay? Lord, we just thank you, Father, for the men and women that have served for this country, for countries all around the world, Lord, to see democracy upheld, Father, freedoms. And Lord, we honour each and every one of those that gave their lives. We honour each and every one of those, Father, that gave their lives and returned, Father. And Lord, that right now we just lift up those men and women, Father, that may have been traumatised through that period of time, Father. There's some that have come through safely, Lord, but there's some also, Lord, that are just being messed up, Lord. And Father, we lift each and every one of them to you today. Lord, we give you praise and we thank you, Father, because you were the original sacrifice, Father. You, Jesus, went to the cross. And Father, as we heard today, Father, that you went and you hung on that cross and you looked out and said, "Forgive them, Father. They know not what they do." And Father, that if you would help us come to that place in our lives, Father, where we recognise, Father, that people that are here operating in the same horizontal plane as we do, Father, that we can forgive them, Father, because there's nothing they can do, Father, to displace what you've done for us. And we give you glory today, Jesus, in your precious name. Amen. Well, we're up to the trilogy. That's the little joke, eh, Sue? The trilogy of to plough straight furrows, you need to lift your eyes. And it began from when we went away in February. At the time, our daughter had about 18 months ago, a tumour taken out of her knee. We went up this time and she let us know that she has a tumour on her pancreas. It's a very major surgery that she's got to go through. We started to speak to some people, and our doctor was very reassuring. He said the fact that they've given her the option for this surgery means that she will be fine. If they hadn't offered her the surgery, then it was a terminal thing. So the exciting part is for us is that we now know that the process and the things she has to go through, she's got a little bit to go. She's a lot like me. She doesn't have very much body weight. So we're going to spend the first month with her trying to actually fatten her up a bit. I don't know how that's going to work. I've spent 60-odd years trying to fatten myself up, but it doesn't seem to be going that good. So we've got the blessing of that time with us, which will be great. She goes in late in May for surgery. It's somewhere between 6 and 8 hours that they operate on her. And then coming out of that, she has a couple of days ICU and then another 3 months of recovery after that. We're believing that we'll be back probably a little bit closer than 4 months' time because, you know, there's things to do. There's lots going on. But in that period of time, get through the message today, you will have to be very gracious with Kim and Andrew. Okay, they've been gracious enough to put their hands up and say, "Yeah, we'll give it a shot." Okay, but understand this is that if they say to you, "No, we can't make those," or if it takes more than 4 words to order your coffee, it's not a coffee. Okay, you'll get to practice your graciousness over the next few months. That'll be exciting. But more importantly, I just want to thank you for your support. For all that you do, this is an amazing church. It's a wonderful place. And something that I don't normally do, but I'm going to exhort the men here in this place today to pray and protect your pastor, all right? To watch over Pastor Julie and Graham, okay? Is that as men, we're given a different direction in the Bible as men, all right? There's things we're to do. And I would encourage your men today, pray for protection over Pastor Julie, okay? Be her protector in this time. Right? If you hear things being spoken, you don't have to be derogatory, but you have to be and stand up and watch over her, all right? And I just encourage you today, men, to do that, is that every one of you, we can all lift our game a little bit. And today, I would ask you, as we leave to go away for a while, that you step up and actually fulfill that role. You will find that it will bless you abundantly, all right? But it'll also bless the church abundantly, okay? So I just encourage you with that. To plough straight furrows, you need to lift your eyes. We can look to scripture here and straight away we can go into the next one that'll come up there for us, which is out of Hebrews. And you probably know this one. Let us therefore fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith. If you just had nothing else but that, then you've got a pretty good life choice. Because he began everything for us. He's the author. He began it. He knows everything of us. But he's also the perfecter. He is working with you constantly to bring you to a place, all right, where we will enter into heaven as a perfect. That, and that's where we will enter into heaven perfected. But he's working the process in this period of time. Other versions will have the finisher of our faith, but he is the one that brings it to pass in our lives. And as we look, this message came out of mowing our lawns at home, and we want to mow straight, you know. We don't want to mow around and around in circles, all right, because you get lost. But also, we actually have a hill. So in order to start over here and finish over the hill in a straight line, you actually have to fix on something. And what we do is we lift our eyes up to the trees that are on the other side, and we can focus on that and run a straight. But if I get caught here looking down, I will go around in circles. And as we walk through our lives, we heard Dennis just speak about, are you having a bad day? All right, when we get in a bad day, if we remember that it is only a day that we're going through, we're not there stuck in it. It's not there, we're not going to be there forever. It is a day we're going through. And if we look to Psalm 23, he says to us, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, yea, though I walk through. I'm not there to stay. I'm not in it. I'm not stuck in it. I don't have to be there. But if I set up camp there, right, it's not going to be much fun. All right, so if stuff's going on around your life, don't camp there. Don't set up camp. Keep your eyes up, lift your eyes up, and go through to the other side, to the promises God has for us. Is one of the lovely things that came out of with Ange is that the doctors, because she had a tumour on her knee, they started doing full body scans, and so they've picked up these other areas. But importantly, what they've done is they diagnosed a disease or an illness or a thing in her, all right? But she had a choice then. She could say, yes, doctor, thank you, now you can operate and heal me. Prior to the Reformation, the Christian church and the early forefathers looked, and we heard it from Sandra the other week, where she spoke about we have a team of physicians around us, being Father, Son and Holy Ghost, the team of physicians. Our early forefathers used to believe and speak of sin in our lives as being like an illness, and God, the great physician, would diagnose an illness in you and then offer you healing. And that is the same today. We've moved a little bit differently in that the fact that Martin Luther and his teams were predominantly lawyers, they moved more to a way of looking at sin as a law or, you know, something in that regard. But if we look at sin from the position of a doctor and a patient, if the doctor says to you, you have this illness, you have this sickness that you've inherited from your family, it's passed on down through generations. For each one of us, sin was passed down from Adam into every one of us. We all inherited this disease, this sickness known as sin. God came along, the great physician, and says to us, you have this illness, but you don't have to have it, because I've sent one who was not born of this earth with that disease to cure you. And just as my daughter went to that doctor and said, well, when can we get it done? That's how we should be with sin in our lives. We should be stepping up to the cross and saying, Jesus, when can you take this from me? And the world needs to know that. The world needs to know that we have this inherited disease of sin in our lives. But there's also a cure from the one who was not born on this earth, all right, through Jesus Christ. And we come to him and have that knowledge of him. have the blood of Christ that is not tainted with that, and be completely healed and that, have that taken from us. And so when we're going through things, you know, and these struggles are coming, rush to the cross, rush to Christ, call upon his name and ask. As John has said this morning, that's all we've got to do, isn't it, mate? Come to him and believe. Jesus asked to believe in the one whom he sent, all right? It's because Jesus constantly was about testifying and telling of the Father. That was his role. Then the Holy Spirit came and it was his role to testify of Christ. And guess where the Holy Spirit dwells? In us. What are we doing? Testifying of Christ, telling the goodness of God, of all the blessings, of all that he does, carrying his joy, working in it and operating in all that he does. Streety and I were having a coffee through the week, and we're just talking about, you know, how so many people get settled. Instead of going through stuff, we settle in it and let it come over us and drag us down. Keep your eyes up. Keep looking to Jesus, walking through, going through. You don't have to be in it. He's taken us out of the miry clay and set our feet upon the rock. It's a really good place to be. Now, I just want to, I'll put my glasses on, because that when my Bible cover disappeared, that was really what I was worried about, was whether I'd be able to find my glasses again or not. All right, it's all right to think, oh, well, I can do this or this, but without my glasses, I can't read very much. But I'm just going to ask Jean now. She's going to play a little clip. But before she does, is that we get what we look for. And this little YouTube clip is just on what you're actually looking for and what you see. And if your eyes aren't lifted up to Jesus, all right, you will see the rest. You will see everything else around you. It's a done deal. This world will come about you. It will envelop you. Every time you pick up your phone, it knows and thinks about what you're doing. All right, the television's doing it. The world around you is doing it. Everything's doing it. So we're just going to have this little awareness test. Thanks, Jean. Let's see how this works. This is right out of my league, gang. All right. So there's two teams, a black team and a white team, okay? So one's going to start passing. How many passes did the white team make? Did anyone get a number? How many? 13? 16? How many do you reckon there were? Well, the answer was 13. But did you see the moon walking bear? Did anyone see the moon walking bear? No, not one of us, did we? Because that's not what we're asked to look for. Okay, let's just run it on. I think they'll explain it. I don't know whether that's me. So did you see it that time? Yes. So is our life with or without Jesus. All right? It's easy to miss something you're not looking for. And if your eyes aren't up to look to Jesus, you will miss him. Honestly, you will miss him. No doubt about it. All right? We have to take our eyes from here and put them up to Christ on the cross. There's nothing else that matters. We can argue about everything else. We can argue about doctrine. We can argue about all sorts of things. We get caught up in all sorts of silliness. But until our eyes lift to Jesus and we start to believe he is who he says he is and to operate in what he's blessed us with, then all we're going to do is run around in the miry clay. We'll be in it, not going through it. So I just want you, if you would, we're going to turn to Colossians 3 in our Bibles. This might give us some help in how we might lift our eyes to Jesus. And there's so many things. Like, I just really encourage you, if you're not making this little book the first part of your day, then you're really missing a good way to start your day. Get up early, all right? Why get up early? Because getting up early actually is putting your old nature aside. It's telling it, no, you're not in control, old nature. I'm going to go and look to Christ. He is my author and perfecter. All right? Allow yourselves to get up early. Pick up the word for today, have a read through it. There's been such great teaching in these last few months. Let it lead you to the word, because I don't know, Royce does this, but he reads all the little scriptures that come in the bottom of each day's reading, and it takes you into great places, doesn't it, Royce? It takes you to places where you start to see the Christ that we're talking about. We start to recognise this beautiful gift that's been given to us. So let's look now. Rules for holy living. This is, and the thing is, it doesn't matter where you go in this book. You can go back one book into Philippians, and you can go into Philippians 2, imitating Christ's humility. Then coming out into Philippians 4, exhortations there for us to do. Rules for holy living in this one. Another one, Romans 12, and it's the best passages of Scripture for us to look towards the example that was set before us in Christ. Since then, you have been raised with Christ. Who has? Anyone who has called on his name, who has recognized that sin is an inherent disease, and we've come to the great physician and said, Lord, forgive me. Cleanse this from me. Take this from me. Set your hearts on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. For you died and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. For when Christ, who is your life, who is he? He is our life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. Put to death, therefore, whatever belongs to your earthly nature, sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires and greed, which is idolatry. Because of these, the wrath of God is coming. You used to walk in these ways in the life you once lived, but now you must rid yourselves of all such things as these: anger, rage, malice, slander, and filthy language from your lips. Do not lie to each other, since you have taken off your old self with its practices and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge in the image of its creator. Here there is no Greek or Jew, circumcised or uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave or free, but Christ is all and is in all. Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness and patience. Bear with each other and forgive whatever grievances you may have against one another. Forgive as the Lord forgave you, and over all these virtues put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body you were called to peace, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom, and as you sing psalms, hymns and spiritual songs with gratitude in your hearts to God. And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. And that's for each one of us, giving thanks to him. Just want to look at a couple of areas there, is that if our lives are in Christ Jesus, then he has already set before us the example to follow. He actually explains it pretty clearly here, I think. It's not that difficult to figure out anger and malice and things like that. How many of us start to want to argue the point? All right? I encourage you today, don't argue the point. Just believe that Christ can heal you. He can take that out of your lives and replace it with his joy, with his excitement, with his all his abundance that he has for us. You can see here that towards the end we're asked down here, let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts. Is his peace ruling in your hearts today? All right, there's stuff going on in our lives, all right? No doubt about it. The world is what it is, all right? Jesus says to us, you will hear of wars and rumours of wars, but be not troubled. He says, you know, yea, all you who are burdened and weary, come to me. And I, Jesus promises, I will carry your burden for you. I've got it. Don't have to carry it. You don't have to be in it, all right? Let it go. My peace I give to you. My peace I leave with you. Not as the world gives do I give. All right? So let not your hearts be troubled nor be afraid. Is this the church we live in, we operate in? This is for each one of us. This is the church of God. Okay? It's to carry a different message out there into the world today. Please don't get regurgitating the news of the world. All right? The news of the world has nothing for the world. It's just dragging them down. But we have good news. The good news is that Jesus Christ went to the cross. He gave his life, but then rose again in new life. And the blood of Christ sets every one of us free. And if we go to 1 John 5 and 14, he says, if you ask these things according to my will, all right, then have confidence that it will be done. Right? Well, his will is that none should perish. That's his will. That's what he tells us, that none should perish, but all should come to a knowledge of him and everlasting life. Do you believe that for your family, for those close to you, those around you? Because Jesus, at one point, the people say, Jesus, what work must we do? And Jesus says, this is the work that my Father requires of you, to believe in the one whom he sent. That's not real difficult, is it? But it is the most impossible thing to do unless you come to a knowledge of Christ. Unless you go back to Colossians 3 and 1. Since then, you have been raised with Christ. Set your hearts on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. For you died, your old life is gone, and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. Take on the rest of that passage of Scripture. Read it, apply it. Move over into Romans 12. Read it, apply it, believe. Operate in that, in all of those things. This is for your life. It brings a joy to you. It brings his peace to you. It brings his life about yours. He envelops you, holds you, looks after you. He casts aside all of those things that would try and hinder you, drag you down. And as we saw in that little awareness test, if your eyes aren't on him, you won't see him. You will see what the world wants you to see. You will be dragged down in it. There's algorithms on every person's phone to make sure that it gets at you. The world, the devil is just a liar and a deceiver. He has nothing of himself. He can't bring anything of value, all right? He's just a liar and a deceiver. He just wants to rob, kill, steal and destroy. All he is wanting to take away. Let's not be like that. This is the church of the living God. Each one of you emboldened, strengthened. If we go down towards the end here where it says to us, and let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. That comes from picking it up, from reading it, to adoring it, to loving it, to being where your Bible just doesn't want to stay together anymore, where it just doesn't know how to keep its pages in the right place. That's where you start to adore it and dwell in it richly. But then it goes on, why would we do that? So that you can teach and admonish one another. All right? That word admonish, you know, you might think, oh, I can be cranky with someone and I can tell them and da 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 da. That's not what it is. It's to build them up, to lift them up, to help them understand this precious gift, this precious word that Jesus has given to us. Let it come up. But then it says, And as you sing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs with gratitude in your hearts, we're singing songs over one another, speaking life over one another. As you gather together, if we come, we speak life. We encourage one another. We exhort one another. We lift one another up, encouraging. Is if anyone starts getting down at you, just say, yeah, look, but that's the news of the world. The good news is that Jesus came and he set us free from that, okay? So I just encourage you. Rosie and I will be maybe 12 weeks, maybe 16 weeks, whatever it is. God knows what it's going to be. But we fully believe that, well, I do anyway, that she'll go in, they'll find this shriveled up little thing on a pancreas and they'll whip it out and she'll come through. But it's not a burden to our lives, okay? It's something to go through. As the same for every one of us in this room. There's things to go through. Let us go through it in the joy of the Lord, which is our strength. Let us go through it in the peace that Jesus offers us. Let us go through it in his strength that he offers to us. We don't have to carry the burdens. It's already, if you've already set it at the foot of the cross, don't go back and keep picking it up. Leave it there for him. He promises that he's got it. He's got it in his hands. He doesn't want you to be burdened. All right? That's why he keeps telling us so much. All right? Don't be troubled. Let not your heart be troubled. Don't cry. Don't be fearful. Don't worry about the things that are happening. They have to come to pass. It's, you know, like this thing about wars and the rumors of wars and you know, the strife and all the troubles. It has to come to pass for him to return. What's the greatest thing we're hoping for is the return of Jesus Christ. These things will come, but he says, do not be troubled. All right? My peace, have it. Walk in it today. Have it with you. All right? So there's so much to say, so little time, angels. But I just really encourage you that as we go from here, practice these Christian disciplines. All right, be gracious to Andrew and Kim over these next few weeks. Well, they actually won't even be here next week. Poor little Wayne and Christine are going to look after it. All right, so it's not quite the same tea or coffee, okay? It'll be over that side, but don't reach over and grab old Wayne and say, oh, come on, Wayne, okay? So it's a good opportunity over the next few weeks, months, okay, to put some of your Christian disciplines into practice, all right? If it gets to the point where you can only get full milk cappuccino, then be gracious and be thankful that that's what you get, okay? If it's not a... Anyone who drinks a cup of tea, that's easy, okay? Or whatever it might be. But, righto. So, Lord, we just want to thank you, Father. We want to thank you for your word. As we take this to heart.